worship Him in spirit and truth. It's good to see each and every person here. It's always good to be with you, especially at the close of the day, to be able to come together and worship God and be able to close our day out that way. I appreciate the very good job that Ethan did in the scripture reading on some of those names that are not always easy to pronounce. But he handled it just fine and did a very good job, and I appreciate him for doing the scripture reading. I invite you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. A very simple lesson that we're going to look at tonight. It's a very good lesson, practical lesson for us to think about. And Ezra serves as a very good example in a number of ways. He serves as an example for us. Well, the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther are really restoration books of the Old Testament. As God's people were in captivity and God had permitted them to return to Jerusalem, rebuild the city, rebuild the walls, and restore and repair the temple and so forth, and restore the worship that God had commanded. And as the text says in Ezra 7:1, first couple of verses, Ezra was a scribe, a ready scribe. And so he was someone who meticulously copied the law. I want you to notice in Ezra chapter 7 and in verse 10, which was the last verse of the scripture reading, concerning Ezra, the Bible says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." That one verse is our sermon for this evening. I guess we could have had the scripture reading just verse 10, but I knew he would enjoy those first 9 verses as well as you. The first thing I want you to think about is the fact that Ezra had prepared his heart. Every single person here this evening is in complete control of their heart. I'm not in control of your heart. You're not in control of my heart. I'm not in control of what you think on a daily basis, what you purpose to do, and you're not in control of that for me. I've often made the statement that when the day of judgment comes, I'm not going to stand on the 2 feet of any number of people. I won't stand on the 2 feet of my good wife or someone who may be good in my family or so forth, but on my own 2 feet. And so we need to understand that we are each responsible for our heart and to prepare our heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, in response to a question that he was asked, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Completely to love God and obey Him and to serve Him. And we need to have the type of heart that is pleasing to God. Like in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, we need to understand that the Bible here says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Be careful what kind of heart we have. And make sure that we have the type of heart that God would be pleased with. And so Ezra prepared his heart. But the second thing that verse says that he did was that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. We need to have a good heart, but we need to have a type of heart that seeks the law of the Lord. Yes, we're not under the Old Testament law. We're under a perfect law of liberty, this side of the cross. We understand that. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, Jesus said, "Knock and it'll be opened to you. Seek and you shall find." Or in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you." Do we seek those things? Do we seek what God would have us to do? When we desire to have a list of priorities, where does God fall on that? Where do spiritual things fall on that? Paul said it, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so we have new desires, new goals, new ambitions to follow God and to seek Him and to learn His Word and obey it. And so where does he fall in that? In the book of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "If you then be risen with Christ," notice the next word, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And so are we seeking the things that God would have us to be doing? That's pretty practical. That's something that we can each use day in and day out. Prepare our heart and to seek the law of the Lord, to learn it and to do it. I love the verse that's found in Psalm 27 and in verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. Notice what the psalmist declared. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." We could involve ourselves in a host of other things in this life. All kinds of things that seek to entangle us and ensnare us along the way. Get ourselves involved in things, but one thing do I desire, that will I seek after. Are we seeking after the spiritual things and things of God? His Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, you're well acquainted with that verse. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, you could finish the rest of it. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the Word of God." Study the Word of God. Someone penned I guess you could call it a poem, I'm not sure, and really not sure who penned it. But it's called "My Bible and I." Have you read that before? You ought to look that up. But he talks about taking his Bible with him along life's way. We need to do that. Our Bible ought to be precious to us, not because it's a book, not because it may have a nice binding or gold gilt pages or whatever it may be, or a red letter edition, whatever the case may be, because of its contents, what it contains. And we need to seek it each and every day to meditate upon it, to study it, and make application of it in our lives. But the third thing that he did wasn't that he just prepared his heart, wasn't that he just sought the Word of the Lord, but the Bible says to do it. They prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. We could spend all of our time studying from God's holy Word each and every time we have an opportunity. But if we never make application of it, as I talked about in the sermon this morning, it would be useless, to no avail. And there's a lot of good, honest people, depending on how you consider or define honest, but good, sincere individuals that may have a good heart, but spurn the invitation and put off doing what we know the Bible says to do. Not only did he desire to seek the law of the Lord, but to obey it. James said in James 1:22, "Not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word." Remember that? He says much about that in the first chapter of the book that bears his name. Again, in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." It's not enough just to hide it in our heart, but we've got to purpose that we will not sin against God, that we'll obey Him, that we'll abstain from what He says to abstain from, and that we'll engage in the things that He says we ought to engage in. In Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God. Remember the rest of that? Rather than man. They were persecuted, this in reference to the apostles in the context, threatened, beaten. We ought to obey God. Let us purpose each and every day to resolve to obey God. Every day, in every situation. Yes, I understand it's easier said than done. A lot of things I struggle with too. A lot of things day in and day out that I struggle with. But we've got a purpose. I'm not going to give in. I try to remind myself, Satan, you're not going to, whatever the case may be. We've got to remind ourselves, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Me and the Lord make a majority against any number of people. That's Psalm 3. I love that Psalm. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many there be which say in my soul, there is no help for him in God. But then he talks about how God is a shield for him, the lifter up of his head, and he cried unto the Lord, and God heard him. He ends that psalm by saying, salvation belongeth unto thy people. Prepare our heart to seek the law of the Lord and obey Him. And then lastly, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Sometimes we can be tempted to be selfish with the Word of God. We spend time learning it. We may spend a lot of time making application of it, but not as much time caring about others to teach it. Not everyone's going to respond in a favorable way. Not everyone's going to respond in obedience to His blessed commands. But we've got to be willing to share it. Incidentally, that verse says that the doing came before the teaching. Prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, then to teach it. Sometimes we try to get that backwards. But there's a statement concerning the Lord in Acts 1, verse 1, that puts things just in the order that it needs to be. When he says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. That's a lesson for us. We need to do it before we try to teach it. And I don't say that as to stand in a place of judgment against others and so forth. I start with myself. If I'm not practicing something, I have no business teaching it to someone else. Remember what the Lord considered that? In Matthew chapter 7, when He talked about judgment, judge not that you be not judged, Matthew 7, 1, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye when a beam is in thine own eye? Then the Lord said, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly enough to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. That's what He's talking about. Sweep our own front porch first. Right? Take care of things at home, so to speak, before we try to do that with others. But we've got to teach other people. We've talked about that. Had sermons on that. Brought that out in classes. The Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore teach all nations. When they obey it, continue to teach them. Paul writing to Timothy saying, 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then back to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Let us purpose that we'll share the message with those about us. What a great example we have in Ezra, a ready scribe who did so much work in the restoration of God's people and getting them back where they needed to be when they had gotten off track because of their rebellion against God. Maybe you hear this soon and never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Why not do that tonight? All things are ready. The question is, are you ready? So the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know each one of these. Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repenting of your sins. Acts 17:30. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away along the way. Turned your back on the Lord, went back out into the world, and not being faithful as you should. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel call, why not come?
serve.